All right, this is going to be the shortest sermon you've ever heard from me. Are y'all ready for that? Get your pencil out. Write this date down, amen. I was studying this last night, looking at it, and I actually made an outline. And normally when I make an outline, I will print it out. I'll put it in the back of my Bible because I know what's liable to happen, especially around Brother Ike. But I didn't do that. And now I know why. You see, if I'd had the outline, I'd have went too long. So I'm just going to go from memory and just give you a brief message that impressed my heart as I was reading this. So I want you to open your Bibles to the middle of your Bible. You're more than likely to come out of the book of Psalms. Turn to the right, you'll come to the book of Proverbs. Then you'll find the book of Ecclesiastes. Then you'll find a little 8-chapter book that is entitled The Song of Solomon. Chapter 1. The Song of Solomon. Chapter 1. Now the Song of Solomon is an unusual book, and if you read it, you would almost say, well, what is this doing in the Bible? Because God plays very little role in it. But there are two main characters in the Song of Solomon, and one of them is the king. And the other one is an unnamed woman who is simply identified as the Shulamite woman. And the Song of Solomon is simply about his love for her and her love for him.
Amen.
Now, if you notice verse 1 of chapter 1, it begins like this, and this is the Hebrew title of the book, The Song of Songs.
Amen.
Now, what does that mean, the Song of Songs? The Bible tells us that Solomon wrote 300 songs, over 300 more than likely. That's a lot of songs. When I read that, I went looking. I'll not even say this, but I will. I went to try to find out how many songs Paul McCartney wrote. He wrote a ton of songs. I went to find out how many songs other great songwriters wrote during their lifetime. And I didn't find one that came close to Solomon in writing over 300. But now, he wrote many songs, but the identity of this book is the Song of Songs. Well, what does that mean? That means the same thing that this means. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
In other words, if Solomon was to catalog the songs that he wrote, he would put this one as number one. You know, they have a billboard, used to, which I don't know what they've got today. We live in a day when there are no comedians anymore. They don't know how to be funny. We live in a day when there are really no good singers. You just don't hear a good voice anymore. You can hear screaming and you can hear cursing, but you just don't hear a good... I'm an old fogey, you see. My dad probably said the same thing about me. But nevertheless, if we were looking at the billboard of Solomon's songs, this one would be at number one.
Right.
So the Song of Solomon, if you read it, one thing you need to understand is it is not in exact chronological order. You cannot begin reading in chapter 1, verse 1, read to the last verse of chapter 8, and follow a line and say, this is the beginning and this is the end, because it's all mingled together. And I want to read two verses. Chapter 1, verse number 7, and verse number 8. And the title of this message, I simply give this title, and this is it. How to Find the King.
Amen.
You know, the Lord said, if you want to find me, you can find me if you search with all your heart and diligence. Amen.
Right.
We may be living in the 21st century, but I want to tell you something. The King shall still be found.
Amen.
And so what happened, if you look up in verse number 6, you'll find out. Matter of fact, you read verse number 6, and I'm going to tell you what you read the inspiration for. Are you ready for this? Read it, and then in there, look for Cinderella. It says that her mother's children, who would that be? That would be her sisters, got mad at her and sent her to work in their vineyards. Now, the vineyards happened to be old Solomon's. And Solomon walked down there one day to his vineyards to overlook them. Now, Solomon didn't go down there with a crown on his head. He didn't go down there dressed as the king. He just simply went down there as an ordinary person to oversee what was going on in his vineyard. But when he did, he looked out and he spotted this Shulamite woman. And I don't know what it is, and I don't know how it works, but there's something when two people's eyes meet that tells them, hey, you know what? I kind of like you. Amen? That's right. And so he spots this woman, and she spots him, and unbeknownst to her, he is the king. Amen. And so in verse number 7, she comes and says something to him. Now, ladies, if you're going to look for a husband, look for somebody that has something to offer you. Amen. You say, oh, we can live on love. No, you'll starve to death. You'll find that out soon enough. I'll just tell you ahead of time. Amen. Now, I'm not only talking about something monetarily. If you get that without that which is most important, which is his heart. He cannot offer you his heart first, and the best thing to do is turn away, no matter what else he has to go with. But here's what she says in verse 7. And at this point, she doesn't know that he is the king. She says, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Why should I go out and seek someone else and abide with them in their flock? Here's what she's saying. Where can I find you? You've kind of stirred something up within me, and I'd kind of like to know where you rest at noon, amen. Where you rest your flocks. Now, he's fixing to tell her how to find him, and this is how you can find him, the king. Verse number 8, he said this, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women. Boy, you see how they're complimenting each other, amen. O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. So I'm just going to point out to you three things. Three things that will lead you to the king. Here's what he told her. How can I find you? He said, follow the footprints. He said, follow the flock. And then he said, follow the food. Boy, I can see her. What have I got to do to find the king? Well, he said the first thing you do is you just look for the footprints and you just follow them.
Amen.
Boy, how much could be easier than that, amen. Someone sang a song about footprints in the sand. You remember that song? Where there were two sets of footprints, but all of a sudden came to another point where there were only one set of footprints. And of course, the end of the story was that during that time I was carrying you. But you see, there's something about footprints. You know what it is? They always lead somewhere. Now, the Bible talks, when speaking of the Old Testament, especially in the book of Hebrews, it talks about a shadow. And it tells us this, if you look at the shadow, which the outline or imprint of something, if you follow that shadow, it will bring you to the substance. Amen?
Right.
If I see a shadow, no matter how big it is, and I follow that shadow, I'm going to come to the substance of that shadow. And he said this, if you just follow the footprints that I have left, they'll bring you.
Amen.
Boy, I want to tell you something. There was a time 2,000 years.
kingship and his lordship. And he condescended to be born into this world, to take up his abode in the body of flesh, and that of a man, amen. And John put it this way, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and that Word was who? God!
Right.
Verse 14 he said, and the Word, that God, who was identified in the beginning as the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us.
Right.
And we beheld his glory. Now who's right about that? John. When Jesus went up upon that mountain, he took three people with him. Who was it? He took Peter, James, and John. And the Bible says when they got up there on that mountain, all of a sudden there were two other people with him. But there was something unique about him. What was it? The glory broke.
That's right.
And his true glory, the glory of God, began to shine through. So John said, we beheld his glory, the glory out of the only begotten of the Father. And he walked this earth and he left his treasure here on this earth. Now if you want to find the king, just follow his footprints.
Amen.
Well, preacher, what are his footprints? His footprints are nothing other than the gospel. Yes. I always tell the prisoners, you can have different questions. We bought thousands of dollars of Bibles for them. Some come to me sometimes and say, preacher, can you give me such a translation of the Bible? I believe I can understand it better. My response is always, no, you can. I said, if you read this Bible, you'll understand it because you see, your understanding should come from the Holy Ghost and not the Son of Man. And usually they'll say, I can. I said, yeah, you can. You just read it. Say, if you've got questions, I'll help you out. The Holy Ghost will guide you.
Yes.
Then I say this. You begin your Bible study by reading the Gospels of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You read all of those twice before you ever finish the New Testament and before you ever go to the Old Testament. Why? Because the Gospels are the footprints of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
On this earth in order for us to find him.
Amen. Good.
He said, don't just follow the footprints. See, I've got them right here. But he said, follow the flock. You see, Jesus said this about himself. He said, I am the good shepherd. Now, what does a shepherd have? A shepherd has a flock. After that, Luke 15, in that great wonderful chapter about the ministry of the Godhead and salvation, it starts off by saying there was a certain shepherd that had 100 sheep. 99 he had in the fold, but one was out there. And the Bible said the shepherd, the good shepherd, will leave those 99 and go out and he will search till he finds that one lost sheep in order to bring it back into the flock. Well, you see, that's what Jesus did when he came to this earth. He came to call out for himself a flock.
Flock, that's who it is.
Now that flock originated with 12 individuals. One of them was the devil. But he was called, well, why did God call him that the scripture might be fulfilled? That's what Jesus said himself in John chapter 17.
Right. Yeah.
And he always fulfills his scripture, amen. But nevertheless, he replaced that one. I say he replaced it. Peter did in that crowd in Acts chapter 1. But the Lord replaced him with a man named Saul.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And he called out that little flock, originally of 12, and you read Matthew 10 and Luke 10, you'll find that it blossomed to 70. One time he sent the 12 out 2 by 2 ahead of him into the towns and villages he was going to go into to announce his coming. Another time he sent out 70. And so he began a little small flock, and it began to grow. Until ultimately, the day of Pentecost, there was 120 together. Now, there were more than that. There were 120 that original flock had grown to that was still together as a flock. Amen?
Right.
Now, this is what Jesus said about the flock. He said, My sheep, they hear my voice. Then he said this, and they know me. Now, you know the kind of preacher I want to listen to? I'll tell you, I don't just listen to everybody. I'm kind of picky when it comes to that. But I will tell you the preacher that I do listen to. I listen to the one that listens to God.
Yep. Amen, brother.
He can tell me everything else about himself he wants to, or anything else in this world. I'm just not interested. I want a man that's been listening to God and has got a word from God. That's who I want to preach.
Amen, brother.
And that's why he's got a flock, amen. Now, he said, you want to find the king? Then follow his flock. Hallelujah. Jesus looked at old Peter. He said, what does everybody think I am? Who does everybody think I am? He began to list off some. You know the catalog. Then he looked at Peter and he said, but who do you say I am? Why did the rest of Peter? He's just the most vocal of all of them. Sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, thou art Peter. You know what Peter living to mean? Piece of the rock. It's a big commercial. You want to own a piece of the rock? Amen. That's what Peter means. And then he said this. Yes! He said, flesh and blood ain't revealed that to you, but said, I want to tell you something. Upon this rock, that rock is not Peter. It's not Petros. It's not the name Peter. No, that rock is a boulder. A huge rock. He said, upon this rock, what was that rock? The faith that Peter demonstrated by confessing that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church.
What is it?
A personal, possessive word. I will build my church.
Amen.
Oh, you want to tell you who got a hold of that? Old John. You read the first epistle of John. Actually, the other two small. And he has a unique expression that he uses for those that he's writing to. Are you ready for it? Here it is. My little children. You see, he came to understand and realize that the Lord had a flock that he called and established upon this word. And the purpose of that flock, my friend, was not to entertain themselves, my friend, not to make themselves rich, not to make themselves famous and popular, but to lead a lost, dying, dark world to the kingdom.
Amen. That's right.
God saved me, April 14, 1972. I got up off my knees right about midnight, and I had no plans to go to church. I've known too many dead folks. I just didn't have any desire to go. But you see, if they were where I was back then, they were in the wrong company. Because where I was, no Christians in the meeting. So the only Christians I ever knew at that point were the not very good representatives. You see what I'm saying? So after God saved me, I didn't have no intent of going to church.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you something. The very next day, I began witnessing people telling them about Jesus. I couldn't invite them to church because I wasn't going. But some God did something for me. And I've been for the last 45 years finding out what God did for me. And that's what it put second time.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know what God did when he saved me in that instant. And I've been 45 years finding out how wonderful it is. So I didn't have any idea of going to church. But I knew God had done something for me.
Amen.
And that Jesus had saved me. I want somebody else to do it.
Right.
Well, preacher, what got you in church? One Christian that was where he ought to be.
Yep.
And God put him on me like a hornet. And he just kept stinging me till I got tired of it. Won't you come to church with me? Now, he didn't know a whole lot because he just got saved. But I knew the boy cared for my soul. We'll call him a boy, we were young men. And so I decided I'd go with him. Amen. Didn't have no sense to say. I just want him to quit stinging me. I told him he was going to. And I sat down right over here. And I leaned back in the pew and I put my knees right up here. See how reverent I was. I was just a babe. I was ignorant. Children do that. You know, they will put their feet on the table.
Oh, yeah.
But son, I wasn't there very long after that man preached. Now listen, the thing the man preached on that Sunday night, it was a Sunday night, he preached mostly on money. Well, that didn't have a lot to do with me, because number one, I didn't have no money. I mean, I broke it back, but I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost stirred my heart.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell you exactly what he told me. You want to tell you what he told me? He said this. No, I didn't hear it in an audible voice with my ear, but I heard it with an audible voice right there.
Yes, sir.
And here's what he said. He said, this is where you are. What did he say? You need to be a part of the flock.
Amen.
You got the message, but you don't have the right membership. You need to get in there. Why? Because I have a flock.
Yep.
And anybody that identifies with me ought to be a part of that flock.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's right.
I'm heavy on being a part of the church. You better believe it. I had a man one time, he said, well, John the Baptist wasn't being a part of no church. You know, sometimes you just want to. Are you stupid? Have you ever been to one? Number one, there was no church at that time. I said, there, and furthermore, if you'll go out here and do what John the Baptist was doing when he was here, son, I'll say, go get him, sin. But you ain't. You're not willing to give it your head like old John did, amen? He wanted to make me a part of the flock. Why? Because it is his flock that he has chosen in this world to take others that don't know the way of the King and bring them.
Amen. That's right. Amen, brother.
Now, what's the purpose of finding the King? We sang a song. Brethren, we have met for worship just a while ago. What did the last verse of that song say? It says that we'll all sit down at his table. We'll sit down. And Christ himself will gird himself and feed us a black man. I'm going to tell you why. I want to find the King, find his tent, because some of he's got something on there. What is it? Food. He said, listen, honey. He said, you just follow these footprints. You follow that flock. And they'll take you straight to the King's tent. And he said, whenever you find the King's tent, he said, you just sit down and eat. He said, why? He says, just as I feed my flock, he said, I'll feed you.
Now
remember, he's kind of already struck on this woman. Huh? And she struck on him. Now, I can go ahead and preach and all that food, but I'm going to stop. I'll preach that another time when I got outlined another place. I think you're hearing this forward for me. But she so loved him. I want you to look in chapter 3 and verse 4 and see what she said whenever she found the King. Chapter 3 and verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loved. And see, she said it again. Now look what she said. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him to my mom's house.
Yeah.
Son, I want to tell you something. Let me tell you how you can know that a man truly loves a woman. How does a woman truly loves a man? Because they will take a hold of them when they're in love with them and they refuse to let them go.
Amen.
Now it's a pity whenever one party is willing to let go, ladies.
Sure is.
You know why I'm still married at this point? I'm not willing to let her go with you.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, sometimes it's horrible. I tell you, she's favorable on steroids. But you know what? She's the one whom my soul loves.
Amen.
Now, she doesn't tell you anything about me because you know I'm perfect. So she got the number one after at church. You know, that's okay with unfair right there. She said, I'm not going to, when I find him, she said, I'm not going to let go of him until I take him to my mom's house. You know, there was a time whenever a couple wanted to get married again, that man, he would go to daddy's house. And he would ask that daddy, "I'd like to marry your daughter." I remember one time somebody pulled up to be one of my sisters and blew the horn. My dad said, "You're right there, daddy, the family." He said, "I want to see who you're going down to."
That's right.
Huh? Yeah. He must not think much of you. I don't know what they do today. And I don't really want to know. She said, "Hey, I love this one so much, I want my mom to meet
you." Yeah. Right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, why did she want everybody to know him? Oh, it's a wonderful story. Solomon carries her to Jerusalem, to his house. You know what all the other women said? "Hey, you don't belong here. There's nothing royal about you." You know what she said? You read it later. She looked at all the fine tapestries and curtains that hung there in the palace. You know what she said? She said, "I belong here just as much as these curtains." And so she ready to take him, see mama. This was the summation of her mission. Chapter number 5, and the last verse of chapter 5, I'm going to tell you. I got a roast in the house. It's already good, but if I don't get home, the cat will eat it, so we have to get home. He said the last verse of chapter 5, "His mouth is most sweet." And then she said this, "Yes, he's all together." You know, people are spending so much time, especially this young generation today, trying to find fault. Trying to find fault with the Bible. And every little thing they can find doesn't bring Jesus down, it brings them down. When you read the book of Jeremiah, first of all, his preacher buddies told him, "Look, don't go out here and preach, thus saith the Lord, what you've been preaching, son. Because you do, you're going to hate you." They told him that. But God already told him, "I'll take care of you, I'll protect you." Amen. And they begin to accuse God when he pronounced the judgment of the Babylonians coming upon them. "Why are you going to let this happen to us? Why have you brought this upon us?" Here was God's response to Jeremiah. "I have not brought this upon you. You brought it upon me." But I want to tell you something. If you ever find the king, and if you ever get your hands upon him, you'll declare he's all together. And rather looking and finding some flaw and wasting your time because there are none, he's all together and lovely, then you'll begin to behold the glory of the King of Kings. You want to find the King? All of the footprints. All of the flock. All of the food. Now, here's what I tell you. I've witnessed to somebody, but I know you. I don't know how to witness. Here's what I tell them. Bring them to church.
Right.
You know why your children aren't going to be here today? Are you listening?
Yes.
If I was a gambling man, and I'm not, at least I'm the worst gambling man in everybody. But if I was a gambling man, I do have enough sense to know that I would want to do everything that is within possibility of me to put the odds in my favor.
Right.
And I tell people who don't bring their children to church, don't make them come to revival.
Yep.
You have a choice, Grandma. Grandma, she went to practice. I say, listen, you bring your children to church, you'll put the odds in their favor that they're going to meet Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what you think of the church is what they're going to think of the church.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
Now, you know why I've come today? I know him.
Amen.
I found him. That part's taken care of. I followed the footprints and plot. Now I'm shut down. The feet are the way it's
right. Amen.
And I've got the power of the government.
Hallelujah. Praise God.